Lightspeed Venture Partners presents Tomorrow Built Today. You can find details from this episode and more at tbtpodcast.com.
Hello, Lightspeed listeners. We have a very special edition for you today. We are coming to you from the home of Gwyneth Paltrow, the Academy Award-winning actress and founder of one of my favorite companies as a consumer and now as an investor, Goop. So I will hand over to Gwyneth now, and we're going to ask some questions for the Lightspeed listeners. Okay, so Gwyneth, why did you first decide to start the Goop blog?
Well, I found myself at a crossroads in my life. I had had this incredible, very busy film career going all over the world. And I had my first daughter. I decided to take a pause. And Goop was really the culmination of these secret passions that I had had for a long time. I love food and travel and wellness and exploration, and I'm an inherently very curious person. And so I thought about ways that I might aggregate all my interests into one place. And so I started Goop in my kitchen in London in 2008.
And now I hear you say that your kitchen in London, and you have lived in various places, including my hometown of London. And so how have the places that you've lived over your life influenced your content at Goop?
I think, you know, I've been incredibly lucky to live and work in multiple cities, as you mentioned. I did an early film of mine in Italy, in France, in Canada, all over, you know, different American cities. And then, of course, I lived bulk of my life in London. And I think that being a child of the world in that way and getting to experience different cultures and different families and different cultures, going into people's homes and experiencing local food, has really made a big impact on the way that I see the world. You know, I think that when we stay insular and in our own country, you kind of have one life. And if you venture out into the world, you can have many lives.
Wow, I love that. As somebody who's lived in London, New York, and now California, that really resonates with me, and I'm sure a lot of the people listening. So now you have a huge number of customers at Goop, and many different types of customers. But when you think about the very core Goop customer, who do you consider that to be?
I think that the core Goop customer is a very curious, forward-thinking person who's interested in information and product that's coming down the pike. They're sort of looking for what's next. It's a brave thinker. It's somebody who really wants autonomy over their health and the quality of their relationships in their life, and they want non-toxic product. I always think of the Goop customers like, yeah, you know, the next wave of thinkers, and we're just trying to keep up with that consumer.
Well, this actually reminds me of something that you said to me on one of our first meetings, which was, when I started to do yoga, people thought I was crazy. But essentially, you are the trendsetter. You are the person who's talking about things that people deem to be crazy, and then they become pretty normal.
Mainstream. Yeah, you know, it's been my role in the culture for a long time. I think I'm somebody who tends to be an early adopter of things that then sometimes become mainstream. And sometimes they just turn out to be crazy.
So now on that point, I know this next question might be akin to asking you to pick your favorite child, but which would you describe as your favorite Goop product?
Oh, gosh, that's really tough. I really love all of them. You know, we put so much time and care into making all of the product. And I guess if there was one product that I could not live without, it would be the Instant Facial, the Goop Instant Facial.
Ooh. I think I might have seen a certain gentleman by the name of Frederick at Felix purchasing that today in your store.
Christmas present.
So Gwyneth, I've actually seen and felt the very strong culture at Goop, and we have your wonderful CFO, Erica, sitting with us in the room today, who makes up that wonderful culture. So can you tell us a little bit about how you've thought about building your culture in the early days?
You know, in the early days, I think I'm a person who, I'm a very kind of energetically motivated person. Like, what is the energy in the room? And I always want to be around people who are smarter than me and more open-minded than me and who inspire me. I sort of built a culture before I understood what I was doing and the importance of it. And now it's something that I actually spend a lot of time thinking about. And I had a mentor say to me one time, your culture is your business plan. And it really stayed with me because I thought, you know, for all we're trying to do, if people aren't coming to work and feeling valued and inspired and that their contribution is important, then there's really nothing's going to work. It's not going to work. And so now I spend time contemplating how to enrich the culture and thinking of it as, you know, very much its own living, breathing thing. And, you know, we're 130 people and counting, and it's a very important aspect of what we do. You know, it's a microcosm of what we're trying to do out in the world, the internal culture.
And when you say the piece of advice that someone gave you, well, firstly, there's definitely a lot of advice that our listeners are going to be taking out of this today, so thank you. But in terms of the most valuable piece of advice that you've received through Goop or over your lifetime, can you share with us that piece of feedback?
I would say, you know, I've had some incredible mentors who've really been critical in terms of advising me and helping me as I carve out this path. Brian Chesky told me early on, he said, you know, people are going to say you're doing too many things. He said, you know, you're doing great things, and I think you can do 1,000 things 1,000 times until they work, you know? And he's like, that was his sort of philosophy, 1,000 things 1,000 times. And we're not doing 1,000 things, but, you know, behind the scenes, you know, if you sort of like count up everything we're doing, it is 1,000 things 1,000 times. And really kind of what I took that to mean is, you know, delineate clearly what you're trying to do and understand how much work it's going to take to get there until you can start to really engage the customer and permeate. And it was a piece of advice that's really stayed with me.
Yeah, it's going to really stay with me now as well. And so you live such a rich life, and I see the passion like in your eyes when you talk about Goop. So can you just tell the listeners a little bit about what makes you so excited to wake up in the morning?
So much makes me excited to wake up in the morning. I think what makes me most excited about the business is thinking about the future and how to get there and sort of creating strategy and thinking and trying to anticipate problems, trying to anticipate trends, trying to understand where we all might be in 18 months' time. You know, is there going to be a recession? Should we start planning for that now, for example? Or on a more positive note, like, maybe culturally, you know, people are going to be more brave and more open and more expressive. And how do we plan for that? That sort of fascinates me, you know, the kind of like, where are we going and how are we going to get there?
It's interesting to hear you talk about the recession, because I remember covering the luxury good companies in 2005 and 6 when everything was so wonderful, and then covering it in 2008 and 9 when everything had fallen apart. And it was almost like they didn't admit that anything was going on,
right,
let alone think about that in advance.
Right.
So it's so wonderful as, you know, a founder and CEO like you to actually be thinking about that in advance.
I think it's coming for sure. So, yes, we talk about it a lot.
That is fascinating. So actually, on the other side of the coin, instead of what makes you excited to wake up in the morning, what worries you and keeps you up at night?
I think that there are a couple things fundamentally that keep me up at night. One is, how do you achieve the kind of scale that we're looking to achieve and really maintain quality and integrity and not thwart growth? You know, it's a very tricky balance. We've grown slowly because we have put so much attention and care into, you know, not acquiring fake customers and not showing growth that doesn't really count, and not sort of slinging product that we don't really believe in. And if something's not right, going back to the drawing board. And that's very much the values of the company. And I think the way that you build a strong heritage brand. But it's hard to do, you know, and especially on the partnership side, there are a lot of partnerships we can't take because the values of that brand aren't aligned with our brand. And so that really inhibits the partnership side. You know, for example, if you went to the Goop homepage and you saw an ad for a fast food chain, it would probably be brand diminishing.
And we're not going to see that anytime soon.
Right, but it's hard for me to tell the women I work with, like, that's a million, $2 million RFP that you can't put out, you know? So that worries me. Like, how do you meet or beat numbers when you're trying to do something in a very careful, conscious way?
Yeah, and staying authentic and true to who you are.
Right.
Yeah. For this next question, just answer the first two things that come into your mind.
Okay.
What would you say are the first two things that you would like to add to your life?
An eighth day of the week.
Wouldn't we all?
But it would have to be a weekend day. It couldn't be another work day. And a CMO. Can I say that?
There's lots of board members sitting in this room, so this is a hint to all of us. Okay, what are the non-Goop brands that you can't live without?
Vintner's Daughter, which is it's an amazing serum that's made in Northern California that I love. You know, and then like great classic brands like, you know, whether it be Chanel or Levi's, you know, like those great classic brands.
Yes, couldn't agree more. There was a lovely Chanel cabinet in your store earlier that I couldn't help look at.
Yes, oh, that's a good one.
And the very last question for me, which is, we have so many exciting Goop announcements to come, but what can you tell the listeners about the future of Goop and what makes you most excited?
You know, I think we have such an incredible opportunity ahead of us in terms of filling out all the verticals with amazing product. I think I'm most excited about our eponymous product creation because I think we approach things in a really different way. And I'm very excited about this kind of Venn diagram of wellness and beauty and how they overlap. And I think, you know, when we create something, we're looking to be disruptive in all ways. And it's interesting to, you know, if you're making an incredible bath soak, to also explore like the homeopathic properties of something and the mystical properties of, you know, what you're putting in things in. So I'm very excited about the Goop product that we have coming.
So many things to be excited about. Now, before we leave, I did promise a cameo from the wonderful Frederick of Felix Capital from my hometown, London. He has traveled all the way over here. So Frederick's been preparing his question while we've been talking. So Frederick, you get one question to ask Gwyneth. What is it?
So from London, but not with the London accent. So thanks for having me here. Yeah, it's an incredibly tough journey to build a business and to run it while being a mom and doing all the things that you're doing in parallel. But still you get, you seem to get an amazing kick from what you're doing. So what is the biggest joy that you've experimented and lived thanks to Goop?
I honestly think my biggest joy is working with the team of people that I work with. Every day I go into the office and I have this incredible team of mostly women, and I haven't experienced anything like this before because I don't come from the corporate world, but these women, like, we've formed this sisterhood and we really have each other's backs. We fill in the holes for the other. We help one another. We uplift one another. We cover for one another if we have to. And it's been like such an incredible, unexpected blessing, and I'm always so excited to go to work and see everybody.
This is particularly special because I can see the way that Erica and Erica, the CFO, and Gwyneth are looking at one another right now while having this discussion. Frederick's upset. It's all about the sisterhood. Gwyneth, thank you so much. We are very, very excited to be working with you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
This podcast is produced by Lightspeed Venture Partners. For more details on this episode, head over to tbtpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.